Well, hey, hey. I don't know if you heard, we had 7 baptisms today. So I'm excited. And just in case you didn't hear it, if that's something you want to do, I will do that again right after this service. Don't you worry. So if that's something you're interested in, please let me know. Let a shepherd know. We make that happen. It is Family Sunday, which means we play fun games and have a blast, do a little more funny stuff than usual. But Family Sunday is always on the 5th Sunday. In case you hadn't put that together yet, mind blown, I hear you. But this year, for every 5th Sunday, we've been talking about real Jesus. Real Jesus. And so that looks like the first one was selective Jesus. We talked about how he's not just for those who look, smell, act, talk the way we do. We looked at how following Jesus means accepting hard truths. We can't have a Build-A-Bear Jesus where you just pick the different pieces that make him best for you. Social media Jesus, where we have to push away our biases and our selfishness, realize there's a standard for our actions. Today we're looking at by the rules Jesus, all right? If we focus too much on doing things the right way, we can miss seeing how God is actually working around us. There is a story that I heard when I was a kid. It was a pastor. He decided he was going to go visit an older lady. Older ladies are the best to visit. They will feed you. And it is amazing. There's no hint there at all. Took you a minute, but I dig it. I actually heard of Pat. This is totally off topic. I heard a pastor tell me one time that you only eat food at a person's house that their husband is a little overweight, because you know they could cook. But anyway, this pastor went to visit an older lady. She lived alone. She was kind. She offered him a meal. He was excited. When he walked in, it smelled good. He sat down at the table, and he looked at the plate and the cup and the fork, and he paused for a second, and they looked, well, a little dirty, not gross, but a little dirty, enough that he had pause. And so he asked her, hey, ma'am, are these clean? And she said, those dishes are as clean as soap and water can get them. And he said, all right, well. So he ate the meal, tried his best not to be weirded out or grossed out by the plate and the whatever. And when he finished, he said, that was amazing. Thank you so much. And she said, oh, you are so welcome. Let's do the dishes. And she called in the other room, soap, water, come here. And these two little dogs ran in. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about today. All right? Jesus went to the Pharisee's house. And the table was set perfectly. Everything was set up correctly. The rules were followed. And Jesus pointed out that it's what's on the inside that counts. So I want to set the scene for you, all right? We are in Luke chapter 11. So if you want to turn in your Bible, in your app, Luke chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible, we got some back there on that table. And if you don't have access to the Word of God at all, take that Bible home with you. That's our gift to you. Everybody should have access to the Word of God. So Luke chapter 11, verse 37. While Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and reclined at table. The Pharisee was astonished to see that he did not first wash before dinner. Jesus is teaching, and this Pharisee, one of the respected religious leaders, walks up and invited Jesus to dinner. So Jesus went. The Pharisees were known for following a bunch of extra religious rules, ones that had been passed down over the years, generation to generation. And when Jesus sat down at the table, the Pharisee was shocked. And it's not because Jesus didn't wash his hands for hygiene, like we think of it today, like I have to tell my son every meal, as though we haven't talked about it for 8 years. But because Jesus didn't follow the ceremonial hand washing. They believed that you had to wash your hands before every meal and then between every course. Missing one tiny step was considered a sin. Aren't you glad that that's not a problem for us? That we don't have to have all these crazy rules that determine, that are human-made rules? We try our best to only follow God's rules, right? Sometimes our rules can force everyone to act the same. But Jesus didn't play along with that. He simply sat down, ready to eat. And the Pharisees surprised Jesus. Jesus had the perfect moment to teach something. He had the perfect moment to tell them how things were supposed to be. So he didn't waste an opportunity, and I won't either. So Tyler got me this cup. He told me he cleaned it, and I disagree. And so I've cleaned the outside of it, as you can see. So I'm going to pour some water in there, and then we're going to go, all right? So here we are. That was a poor choice. All right. That cup was gross earlier. And I cleaned the outside of it, and I poured some water in it, and it's awful. Inside still had nasty, dirty things in it. I'll take an antibiotic later. But this is what the Lord this is what the Lord said to him. Now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness, you fools. Did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you. Jesus went straight to the heart of the issue. He tells the Pharisees that they care a whole lot about cleaning the outside of the cup and the dish, but they're full of greed. They're full of wrongdoing. It's a strong picture, right? A cup that's dirty on the inside is useless. You wouldn't drink from it. I wish I hadn't. And think about washing dishes, all right? There was a time when there were no dishwashers. Actually, that's not true. There were children. And they were made to do the dishes. And they were made to do the dishes by hand. I remember being told to do that. And if you're too young to remember how that works, you clean the inside of the cup, then you clean the rim on the top, then you clean the outside, and then you rinse it off. No one cleans the outside and then calls it clean. But that's exactly what the religious leaders were doing. They were focused on looking pure on the outside. They were focused on following the rules. They were going through the ceremonies, the rules that they had laid out, all while ignoring what was going on in their hearts. God cares about both the outside and the inside. But it starts with the heart. In verse 41, Jesus makes it really clear. Purity begins on the inside. A generous, loving heart is what makes people clean in God's eyes. But he doesn't stop there. He knows that as humans, we are quick to say, well, my heart's clean. My heart's clean, no worries. So he exposes what's really going on inside of us. Not to shame us, but so we can know the truth, so we can change. And he makes a list. Your cup is not clean when... And then Jesus made a list. So here we go. Hold on, here's more real water. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. We often care more about the rules we think that are important rather than the things that God says truly matter. The Pharisees are a perfect example. They gave their tithes very carefully, down to the smallest detail, but they didn't show God's love for other people. They followed some of God's commands with amazing accuracy, but they ignored others that were just as important. They forgot justice. They forgot love. They forgot the heart behind his commands. And we can be the same way. It's easy to focus on the rules we like. or the ones that come naturally to us, or the ones that make us feel good while ignoring the ones that are harder. Someone may steal. Sorry, that's bad. Someone may never steal, but they can still live in a way that doesn't honor God's design for relationships. Somebody might be honest at work, but unfaithful at home. The church might do church services correctly, with prayers and songs and communion, but forget about the people outside the walls. We can do some things well and pretend that's enough. But Jesus teaches that true discipleship is obeying all of God's commands, not just the comfortable ones. He wants our obedience to come from the heart. When our hearts are right, our actions will follow. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace. We're human. We like to be noticed. Sometimes we say we're doing things for God, but deep down we're doing it because we want people to see us doing them. We want others to think we're spiritual or devoted or impressive. And the Pharisees did this all the time. They made sure everyone knew when they were fasting, made sure everyone knew when they were giving. They wanted the spotlight, but the spotlight should always be on Jesus, not on us. Sometimes we grumble, but no one knows what I'm doing for the Lord. And Jesus' response, he would say, good, good. In Matthew 6, he says, if we do things just to be seen, then the praise we get for that is the only reward we're going to receive. It means if you don't do it out of love for God, you did it out of love for attention. Don't announce what you're doing. Don't brag about it. Don't hint at it. Do it quietly because you love Jesus. True disciples serve without needing applause. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it. Jesus gives a strong warning here. When you are spiritually dead inside, you're not just hurting yourself, you're hurting the people around you. God's law said that touching a grave or a dead body made you unclean. You had to sit away from everyone else for 7 days. And because of that, the Jewish people, when they buried someone, they would mark the grave and then they would put white paint all over the area to make sure that no one accidentally walked over a grave. No one accidentally touched a grave, walked over a dead body. Jesus uses this picture. He says, you are like unmarked graves. In other words, people around you, they don't realize the danger when they get close to you. They become spiritually harmed. Instead of them growing closer to God, the Pharisees are pulling people away because their hearts aren't clean. And we do the same thing. When we talk selfishly, we live in an unkind manner, when we act without love, we influence people in the wrong direction. When we don't grow in God's word, we end up spreading ideas that aren't in the Bible. Like the idea that God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible. All right? Benjamin Franklin put that in his almanac. If our hearts are dead, our influence becomes dangerous. One of the lawyers answered him, "Teacher, in saying these things, you insult us also." I find this verse very humorous, by the way. Jesus is warning the Pharisees, and one of the lawyers at the table speaks up and says, "Hey, Jesus, don't you realize that you're insulting us when you talk about them too? It's okay to say that about the Pharisees, but not about us." Jesus says, "Yeah, I know." And then he jumps on them too. He's not trying to hurt their feelings. He's giving them a wake-up call. If our first reaction to Jesus' words is, "Hey, that offends me," you're missing the point. Jesus is showing us the areas where we're being hypocritical. He's shining the light on parts of our hearts that we have that are not clean. And if we only respond, if our entire response is, I'm upset, that makes me feel bad, then we're proving that the warning applies to us. We're showing that we care more about looking good on the outside than being pure on the inside. Jesus' goal isn't to insult us, it's to change us. He exposes the wrong so that we can make it right. I want to play a game. I want to play a game. I need a volunteer. Volunteer? No? Okay. Yeah? Peyton, come on. Tyler, I dare you to take a sip of that drink.
I know what's in it.
It is not tea. All right, so here's the deal. I need you to carry those cinder blocks one at a time from that stool to that stool, and we're gonna have a timer. All right? So as fast as you can without breaking anything, either of yours or on stage, I need you to take each one by one from that table, from that stool to that stool. All those. Ready? All right, here, count down with me. Everybody, 3, 2, 1, go. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go. All right, hold on. That's enough. This feels like a poor idea.
This is not that heavy.
All I asked for you to do was carry a couple of those cinder blocks. And Tyler made it difficult. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can go sit down. Give Peyton a hand. Tyler's the one that made it more difficult, right? I just asked for her to move 5 or 6 of those, and Tyler made it harder. In fact, did you notice he didn't carry any of them over for her at all? I know. Everyone boo Tyler. I hope that's the only time I ever say that. And he said, this is Jesus, "Woe to you lawyers also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers." Jesus warns us about placing heavy burdens on people while refusing to do it ourselves. And we're all tempted to do this. We're all tempted to do this. We say things like, why doesn't the church do this better? We say, why aren't High Point shepherds doing this? We say, why doesn't someone take care of this problem? And Jesus is saying here, why don't you do it? Why don't you do it? Instead of handing out assignments to everyone else, Jesus calls us to pick up the work ourselves. Yes, there's a lot of work to be done. Exactly. That's why we need more people to do the work. Don't just share the idea. Take the lead. Show us how it's done. Do you want to know an example of this? Ebony. Ebony's Heart for the Homeless Ministry. We were at CIY together one time, and she saw a homeless guy on the side of the road and said, I wish I had something to give him. And now that ministry is huge here. And she's never asked me to do a thing. I do, but she has never asked me. Just because something fits well into your life, just because something fits well in your life, doesn't mean it'll fit the same way in everyone else's life. Why don't we just assume other people are already hard at work and jump in? We want your ideas, but more importantly, we need you to help evaluate and execute the good ideas. If you are unwilling to spearhead the work, it must not be as important and necessary as you think. True disciples think of the work that they can do, not work that other people should be doing. We have a great saying amongst our staff when we're looking at ideas and things. We say, Yes, that is a great idea. Is it good for High Point? Is it great for High Point? Is it a good idea that someone that wants to do that? Absolutely, that sounds great. But that doesn't fit in our mission, in our vision, in what God's called High Point to do. And those two things can be totally separate. And that's okay. He keeps going. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your fathers killed. So you're witnesses, and you consent to the deeds of your fathers, for they killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore also the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged with this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, it will be required of this generation. Jesus is pointing out a serious problem. People were honoring the prophets with words and memorials, and ignoring their message with their actions. People were building tombs for the prophets that have been killed by earlier generations. And on the outside, that looks very respectful, but on the inside, they're repeating the exact same sins that killed the prophets in the first place. Jesus' point here is simple. Honoring God's messengers is more than just saying nice things or following traditions. It's about listening and obeying. And we can make the same mistakes today. We can claim that we respect God's word. Like we say that we like a challenging sermon, but if we continue lying and being selfish and gossiping and taking what isn't ours and disobeying and complaining and ignoring the truth, ignoring the needs of others, you're dishonoring God and His word. True disciples don't just talk about God, they live His word. To honor God, you got to obey what He commanded. Woe to you, lawyers. If you've taken away the key of knowledge, you did not enter yourselves and you hindered those who were entering. We are called to be light in the world, but these religious leaders failed at it. They were supposed to guide people to God, teach His word, show other people the way. They had the key to knowledge, and they didn't just fail to use it for themselves. They blocked others from using it too. And we have the same responsibility. God has given us His word. He's given us His word so we can teach others, so we can lead others closer to Him. But if we don't live, if our lives don't match what we teach, if our cup is full of selfishness, unkindness, wrongdoings, we are confusing people instead of helping them. Woe to us if we ignore this calling. We fail when we don't open God's word. When we don't learn from it, when we don't share it with others. True disciples remember their mission. To seek and save the lost. That's the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. That's the Great Commission. That is the mission of our church at High Point. No fluff, pure and simple. So what will you do with all these woes? Improve yourself, be a better disciple, or be like the scribes and Pharisees who this had no effect on. And he went away from there. As he went away from there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press him hard, to provoke him to speak about many things, lying in wait to catch him in something he might say. They begin to test him, provoke him. They're trying to discredit Jesus. But Jesus' teachings are true, even if we don't want to hear it. So what's inside your cup? What's inside your cup? Sometimes the reason that we can feel alone or secluded is because we're living two different lives. We're pretending to be Christians on the outside, but on the inside, we're full of evil. We need to be cleansed from the inside out. You can't draw near to God until you've given him your heart for cleaning. And that's what the real Jesus is asking of us. Lord, thank you so much for your day. Thank you for letting us come here. Thank you for letting us get together, learn about you. And God, I pray that you will continue to cleanse our cups. Not just on the outside, Lord, but on the inside. Pray that we can be a light. The things we do and say will be pleasing to you. Be with us this week, Lord. Thank you again. In your son's name we pray, amen.